This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex, a natural solution to chronic pain. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. Sourced and manufactured in the United States, this product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling, and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. Radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions. Thanks for sending the questions. They're thought-provoking and are teeing off some interesting discussions. And parenthetically, in case you haven't heard, we have now exceeded the threshold of 7 million podcast downloads. We're Woo! Very excited about that. Yeah. So, you're out there. Somebody's listening.
Yeah. Yep. And that's, 7 million.
That's very gratifying to us. So we are, fueled by your enthusiasm.
Yes.
And we'll keep going.
And your questions. So keep sending them, please. Yep. To radioprogram@AOL.com. We have a question from Michael. Your podcasts and articles on gut health have been excellent. My wife and I are considering using Dr. O'Hara's probiotic. My question is this. What percentage of the bacteria in the probiotic survives the gastric acidity to then colonize in the gut? Mm-hmm. I've read that most probiotics are useless because of this acid challenge.
Right. Okay, so this is something that is now the object of research.
Yeah.
Which is, we know that the object is to colonize the intestinal tract with beneficial bacteria. Mm-hmm. So there are several impediments to that. Mm-hmm. One is the quality of the probiotic itself. Does it arrive in your, in your kitchen cupboard in a viable form?
Yeah.
So right there may be some issues with transport, storage, mm-hmm. aging, which affect the viability of the organisms
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
The second is the obvious fact that stomach acid somewhat inhibits bacteria. In fact, we know
yes.
that individuals who are on acid blockers, which mm-hmm. destroy the stomach acidity, are more prone to things like norovirus
yeah.
and intestinal pathogens. They mm-hmm. get more diarrheal diseases. They may be the ones on cruise ships who, when there's an outbreak, are more likely to get
right.
diarrheal.
That stomach acid defends us.
Right.
Carries beneficial lysozymes.
Does it, however, completely kill the bacteria? Well, we know it doesn't because fermented foods do have a beneficial effect on the gut.
Yes.
They do introduce beneficial bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
And, so we also know that even in infants, one of the ways to ensure proper colonization of their gut is the passage through the vaginal birth canal.
Yes.
And then even breastfeeding with the surface of the mother's breast where there's mm-hmm. Flora, there's certain bacteria on the surface. I mm-hmm. mean, it's not like you
We're a holobiome.
You don't swab your breasts with disinfectant prior to, prior to nursing. So uh-huh. you're actually introducing flora that way. And then it's kissy-kissy, face-face, all that stuff.
Right.
And we know that that helps to colonize mm-hmm. the bacteria mm-hmm. in your gut.
Now, there are the two schools of thought for Michael. There are some scientists that say that the stomach acid, because he's concerned about the acid and the probiotic surviving, that you want to take the probiotic when you have the least amount of acid in your stomach. So the question is, when is that? On an empty stomach or after eating?
Good point.
Many scientists will say, After eating, you have more acid in your stomach because it's there to break down and digest.
Right.
So don't take it with food. But others say you have still some acid on an empty stomach. So don't take it then.
Right.
At least when you take it with a meal,
you're
the
buffering
food,
it. You're buffering
that
yes,
acid.
Right.
So what is the answer? I say do both.
The answer...
take one on an empty, take one with
food. There is no clear-cut answer.
There's no clear-cut answer. But, the jury is kind of out and...
Yeah, so...
Maybe it depends on the stomach.
So here's a third problem.
Yeah.
Is that merely because you introduce bacteria into the gastrointestinal tract doesn't mean it's going to take. It's like saying, you know, we could say, oh, look at the Sahara Desert. It's like there's denuded of vegetation. Let's just get some giant, cargo planes, and we'll just drop seeds over the Sahara Desert,
right,
and we will convert it into a verdant plain, you know, of grassland. Well, no,
it's not going to happen.
It's not going to take.
Right.
And for
maybe
some,
cactus, but maybe not even that.
And for some people, you know, they're not either genetically primed to be good cultivars of beneficial bacteria, or else the condition of their gut and competing bacteria interferes with the colonization by healthy bacteria. So that it's not uncommon for me to look at stool tests and see patients have zero lactobacillus.
Yeah.
And they say, but I take a lactobacillus supplement. I've been doing it for 20 years and there's zero that shows up.
Yeah.
There's some tricky aspects to this. Now with Dr. Ahira's, one of the advantages is that it's more akin to a fermented food.
Yeah.
It's got multiple strains in a matrix.
And it's prebiotics too, not just probiotics.
Prebiotics, which also help to support the growth of the bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
So, the suggestion is, unfortunately,
it's a terrific probiotic, first of all.
Yeah, it's empirical. Try it. You'll like it, you know.
Right.
See if it works for you.
Right.
Different strokes for different folks.
Here's another scenario. People who travel abroad, you know, there's always the event of traveler's diarrhea or something like that. I am chronically telling travelers to take their Dr. Ahira's probiotic.
Plus, it doesn't
need
refrigeration.
Right. It doesn't need refrigeration, so you could just keep it in your purse, your backpack, your briefcase, any of that, your pocket even. And should you get a traveler's diarrhea or even feel like you've gotten some foodborne illness, you could take up to six a day.
You can take a lot.
And can really, really help to curb all of that, to attenuate.
So we've done many podcasts on that from time to time. We ask an expert because they're one of our sponsors, and you know we get. I mean, yeah, it's promotional, but it's also good factual information about probiotics.
Yeah,
we want to make it not just a product pitch, but we've had experts like Ross Pelton and Marty Whittakin talk about the probiotics. You know, those are questions that, and I may run this question by them because they may offer a more detailed and eloquent explanation of this.
That's worthy of an entire podcast, right?
Yep. Good point at which to pause because we allow our sponsors an opportunity to share a vital message with you. So here goes. Please listen up.
Do you suffer with chronic pain? Are you taking risky over-the-counter or prescription anti-inflammatory drugs? This is Dr. Ronald Hoppe with a better natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. Sourced and manufactured in the United States, this product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling, and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make intelligent medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to our questions. What's next, Layla?
This is interesting. This is something I haven't seen before. This comes from, I don't have a name. Dear Dr.
No name.
No name. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, a friend is suffering from CRPS. That is complex regional pain syndrome. Her doctors have her on numerous prescription meds, but she still suffers considerable constant pain. Could you give a brief overview of this condition? Are there any non-pharmaceutical protocols that you can suggest?
Yeah, typically what they, if chronic regional pain syndrome.
Yeah.
Why don't you share a little
background on that? National Institutes of Neurological Disorders and Stroke. Here's a fact sheet.
It's a tenacious pain syndrome. One of the worst, most challenging kind of pain syndromes.
It's a chronic, lasting greater than 6 months pain condition that most often affects one limb, whether it's an arm, a leg, a foot, a hand, usually after an injury. And CRPS is believed to be caused by damage to or malfunction of the peripheral and central nervous system. So this can be quite challenging. The CRPS is characterized by prolonged or excessive pain, changes in skin color, temperature, and or swelling in the affected
it's
area.
It's weird because you can really visualize it. You can see that one leg is red and one leg is white, you know, or whatever the underlying skin color is.
That's fascinating.
And it looks different.
So in 90%, in more than 90% of cases.
It used to be known as reflex sympathetic dystrophy.
Oh, wow. That's a cooler name.
So typically how it develops is, you know, say you have a sprained ankle. And the sprain, you know, seems to get better, but then this weird, you know, chronic pain condition develops.
That's interesting.
And, you know, it's the pain's constant. Burning, pins and needles. Squeezing. There's a lot of skin sensitivity. It's called allodynia. Like, you know, even like your pant leg can bother you.
In more than 90% of cases, the condition is triggered by a clear history of trauma or injury. The most common triggers are fractures, sprains, strains,
soft tissue fracture,
burns, cuts, bruises, limb immobilization, such as being in a cast.
So what's interesting about it is that it appears that your vitamin C status determines whether you're more likely to get CRPS. So if you have an injury, it really is a good time to take more vitamin C so you don't develop CRPS.
Wow. Which reminds me, I'm running low on my vitamin C, so
better
I need
order
to get
it,
some more. That's right. So what is the prognosis? The outcome of CRPS is highly variable. Young persons, children, teenagers tend to have better outcomes. While older people can have good outcomes, there are some individuals who experience severe pain and disability despite treatment.
What they can sometimes do is they can do a ketamine infusion. That's sort of a
Special K?
Special K street drug, but ketamine is also used for depression. But what it does is it kind of, it's like a reboot of your computer. You know, when your computer's going wacky, you know, you just like, you know, pull the plug and it goes off. And then when you turn it on, it can resort itself. That's sort of what ketamine can do for that. There are certain, you know, certainly use topical anesthesia, you know, like pain. You know, we sometimes make, you know, concoctions that people can put on topically that have lidocaine and other things in them. You know, sometimes we put in a little gabapentin or amitriptyline. People take these things orally a lot. Lyrica, Neurontin, you know, Pamelor. And these are antidepressant medications, but they work on the nerves. Sometimes they will do nerve blocks, sometimes sympathetectomies where they cut the nerves.
That's
an extreme thing. They will do spinal cord stimulation. That's a little bit like what we, you know, we talk about vagal nerve stimulation. It's a big problem.
It will be an inflammatory response. Yes, maybe things like.
But it's a nerve pain. And nerve pain is really difficult.
Alpha lipoic.
Yeah, sure.
Alpha lipoic
acid.
That
would be a plausible support.
For starters.
Yeah. You know, I frankly don't accept patients with CRPS because I think that they should be referred to a pain specialist. I don't think it's something that's.
It's not going to be cured with some B12 shots.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, there's a placebo response to anything you do, but...
Right. Well, it may help in the near term. Okay. Oh, wow. All right. Best of luck to your friend. Wow, that's really something. That's a condition I'd never heard of. All right.
Well, fortunately, you never heard of it.
Yeah. We have a question from Joyce.
You shouldn't know from it.
I shouldn't know
from it. You shouldn't know from it.
You shouldn't know from it. Okay. Thank you. Joyce is asking, I have been taking strontium for about 2 years very successfully. My osteoporosis in the spine is gone. My numbers
awesome.
Are good.
Awesome.
That's great.
Great.
I'm wondering if I should stop taking it, reduce it, or continue it as I've been doing. What do you recommend?
So that's a good point.
Two years she's been taking it.
This is like, okay, so first problem, people come in with osteoporosis, and then it's like, let's see if we can fix it. And then we fix it. Hmm. And then the question is, okay, what do we do now? Do we keep supporting with strong things like strontium, or do we cut back? And what I've done is I've generally cut back. Mm-hmm. But what I notice is that people lose ground. So we're now into, you know, I've been doing this long enough where I do see some patients who I say, well, stop strontium. And two or 3 or 4 years later, they'll come back. And we'll see a decline in bone density. And then I have to resume the strontium. But the good news is that even, you know, when they've lost bone, you know, we compare that to their bone density from like 1999 or something.
Yeah.
And it's still better now,
right,
20 years later than it was then.
Which is everything.
Right. And so just you'll go back on strontium, you'll still get a good response.
Uh-huh.
So why I say stop? I don't think strontium's bad.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's a very high dose of something that's, you know, it's not like just a, you know, taking a little bit of some multivitamin. It's a very strong pharmaceutical application of something that's natural. It's natural, but it's at a pharmaceutical dose. It's, you're not going to get that much strontium from eating a, you know, eating a, whatever, some vegetable that's rich in strontium.
I'm trying to think of a food that might have strontium in it.
What vegetable is rich in, naturally rich in strontium? It's a concentrate. And so if you don't need it, you don't need to turn your bones into like Superman. And you can cut back.
But
I would recommend that if you cut back, make sure a couple years later that you're not losing some ground again.
Right, right. And you know, it's strontium is terrific, but there are other things. You know, taking a bone health supplement, a formula like an OsteoPrev or the
OsteoThera.
MK7. MK7, vitamin D, magnesium. It's not all about the calcium, obviously.
Yep.
Hopefully those of you who listen to this podcast
has some benefits that we now know.
Make sure you're doing strength training, please, especially ladies, give equal time. Two strength training 3 times a week is better than 2.
Right.
To keep your skeleton strong and your muscles strong and you remain functional for as long as possible in your life. So don't discount any of that. And it should be an anti-inflammatory diet. You shouldn't have much sugar in your diet. You shouldn't be using inflammatory vegetable oils. Osteoporosis is also called an inflammatory condition. Therefore, watch what you're putting in your body.
Yep.
Yeah. Get some bone broth going.
I was going to say.
Yeah, the bone broths. Your homemade soups and stews.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The collagen, the gelatin, all of that. Also keeping your joints healthy. Not just your bones, but your joints.
Mm-hmm.
Keep away arthritis.
Minimize your dependency on drugs that could make you dizzy and ungainly and weak and fall.
Yeah.
You know, because I think, you know, a perfect storm for a fracture is someone who is not physically fit, has, you know, not really balance trained, and they may be on an antidepressant or maybe on a pain medication or a sleep medication. And especially as you get older, those medications can really accumulate in your system. And you can just feel groggy. And
it doesn't offer you real sleep.
Or blood pressure medication that's overdosing blood pressure medication that makes you feel weak and woozy. And then next thing you know, you fall and then you break something.
Right, right. Mm. Joyce, thank you for your question. All right. We have a question from Anne. I have issues with inflammation, tendonitis, arthritis, and recuperating from a broken leg.
Move.
Because I'm on blood thinners, Plavix and Pradaxa, I cannot take anything but Tylenol.
Okay.
What supplements supplements can I take with the blood thinners? What foods are especially inflammatory? We just mentioned some inflammatory foods. Are there foods which help with inflammation?
Well, I would say fish oil would be permissible even though you're on a blood thinner. I mean, yeah. The doctors will formally tell you that, oh my goodness, don't take blood thinners, you're already on blood thinners.
Right. But,
and I think, you know, pretty quickly you can identify if, for example, for men that you're shaving and, you know, you nick yourself and it doesn't stop, or if mm-hmm. you sneeze and your eyes are all bloodshot, or if you bump yourself gently on, you know, the side of a table and you get tremendous bruising, that you're hyper, you know, you're anticoagulated to the point yeah. where it's dangerous. I do think curcumin is suitable even in the setting yeah. of blood thinners. I think its blood thinning effects
yeah.
are exaggerated.
Yeah, yeah.
It's wonderful anti-inflammatory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anti-inflammatory diet, as I just said a moment ago,
why they say not to take NSAIDs? Well, NSAIDs aren't really a blood thinner, but no. they will, in the setting of being on a blood thinner, they can cause gastrointestinal bleeding, which if you are not on a blood thinner, it's bad. But if you're on a blood thinner, you're going to have
massive
blood loss.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's, an aspirin is a blood thinner, so you don't want to be on that.
Right, right. And you want to use prudent use of Tylenol only, because that could be hard on your liver.
So, and Tylenol doesn't do much yeah. for joint pain anyway.
Yeah.
Tylenol is, I find, I got, you know, two types of pain. I mean, joint pain, mm-hmm. You know, like a, you know, sore knee or something like that, or a sprain, you know, NSAIDs are good for yeah. pain relief. But for back pain, Tylenol doesn't do anything. For me, when I get a muscle overuse thing, you know, if I'm like lifting or if I'm doing a lot of, you know, heavy squats or something like that, mm-hmm. and or a lot of running or cycling, and I'll, periodically I'll get, oh, you know, achy legs, and I
like a heating pad,
and I can take Tylenol, uh-huh.
wow,
and
good,
it abolishes it for me.
Uh-huh.
How often do I do that? You know, a bottle of Tylenol will last me, you know,
it'll expire
2 years.
It'll expire.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Exactly that. And what foods are inflammatory? Also, stay away from any additives, preservatives, processed foods. Most of those are packaged foods that way. Stay away from sugars. Stay away from deep fried, anything in a trans fat.
Joint pain, undenatured collagen type 2,
UC2. Yeah. UC2 is helpful.
Right.
Wow.
And certainly glucosamine, chondroitin, you know, there's mm-hmm. something to be said for that. Although, mm-hmm. you know, I think studies have been back and forth on that. But it will actually preserve synovial membrane.
She's also recuperating from a broken leg. So I'm wondering if something like Ostinol would be beneficial.
Yeah, that could be helpful. Yeah. Ostinol is great for fracture recovery. Mm-hmm. It's a bone morphogenic mm-hmm. protein.
Mm-hmm. Do take your vitamin D and your...
By the way, some of these supplements that we mentioned that are available on FullScript, which is our online dispensary. Mm-hmm. If you go to drhoffman.com, the drop-down menu will say store, and then it'll take you to a portal where you can register for FullScript for free, and then you can shop there for, you know, some of the more esoteric products like Ostinol and Osteothera and Osteoprev. These mm-hmm. are physician products, generally prescribed by physicians, but
yes.
we make them available to our audience mm-hmm. via FullScript. Mm-hmm.
Of much higher quality, yes, absolutely. Very thoroughly vetted by Dr. Hoffman and myself. So, yeah, and oh, we hope you feel better soon. Wow. If you do have arthritis, I might also recommend that you stop the nightshade family of vegetables like mm-hmm. tomatoes, peppers of all varieties, white potatoes, eggplant.
It's funny. I was at a party the other night. It was like mm-hmm. the 91st birthday of my aunt. Mm-hmm. And there was a young guy there. I mean, young, I guess he's maybe pushing 50. And he's an inveterate basketball player. Mm-hmm. He really plays very aggressive basketball with often like, you know, 20-somethings. But he likes to, that's his fitness regime. And but he said, you know, I don't eat tomatoes, I don't eat eggplant, I don't eat green peppers because it really affects my joints.
Wow.
And, you know, he's concerned because,
yeah.
you know, your knees get a little wobbly when you do all that jumping and that pivoting in
that's
basketball.
A lot of shock.
And,
right.
You know, hips and so on take a beating.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that he does better when he's off the nightshades. He's careful about that.
Terrific. Wow. Add some bone broth to that occasion. A day. I often will tell patients, clients, start your day with a bowl of consomme, bone broth, something like that, before your lunch, before your dinner. If that's not something you do, have a mug of it in place of your cup of coffee or tea that day.
Okay.
It's very beneficial.
Yeah.
It's just very beneficial.
And it also takes away a little bit your appetite, you know, your voracious appetite, so that you may not go for that Cinnabon.
Yeah. Starting with a soup, something like that, is often beneficial that way.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And thank you for your question.
Well, you know, that's all the time we have.
Oh my.
We've, you know, kind of, time flies when you're having fun, as we often say. So
Well,
thank you for your questions. Great questions this week. Keep them coming. Radioprogram@AOL.com. Remember to download all our quality products, podcasts, because we're shooting for 10 million. Maybe we'll achieve that in 2020. 10 million podcast downloads. Which means more people getting their dose of intelligent medicine. Thank you, Layla, for joining us.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman. Thanks for listening, everybody.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.